in all these speeches, as good as they were, is that she's in the White House right now. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years who is supposed to already be working on solving it? But
Scott Jennings on CNN talking about the conundrum that the Democrats have at this convention, located in Chicago, of course, trying to say, you know, if we're talking about hope being reignited into American voters right now, why were they feeling hopeless like yesterday or maybe even a month ago when Kamala Harris wasn't the coronated person to take the nomination for the Democrat Party? And what is the significance of this existing in a beautiful city like Chicago that has been ruined by Democratic policies? Wanted to get our friend on here, Congressman Darren LaHood. Welcome back to the show. Congressman, thank you for being here today.
Annie, great to be with you and your listeners.
Well, we appreciate you. You are the representative for Illinois' 16th district. A lot of people know the Peoria area. I'll be in Peoria, I think, in October for a volleyball tournament. And, you know, when I think about Chicago, just a little bit further north from Peoria from where we are, I think that it's kind of a clarion call for voters right now to look at what these sustained far leftist progressive policies will do to a city. Over and over and over again, you continue to choose this type of leadership. This is what the city ends up looking like, even though it should be one of the best places in the nation. I think that's what a Kamala Harris presidency will do in our federal government.
Well, Annie, there's no doubt about it. Chicago is a poster child for what happens with really terrible policy in our nation. And it is ground zero for what's gone wrong with the progressive, radical, really anti-American policies that's been put in place by our mayor, who's a disaster, Mayor Brandon Johnston, and our governor, J.B. Pritzker. You look at our crime rate. We're going to have a record amount of murders in Chicago this year. You look at our out-migration of people leaving Illinois. We lead the nation in people wanting to leave Illinois because of high taxes, because of no support for our police. You look at the fact that, you know, our business climate is not good at all. We just had another company, Morton Salt, announce they're leaving Chicago. So the media is never going to tell you any of this. But when you think about what Kamala Harris and Biden stand for, it's really doubling down on what's wrong with Illinois. And frankly, that's not the direction I want to go. I love Illinois. I'm a fourth generation Illinoisan. You know, I'm raising my family here. We have really good people in the state. But as you know, Annie, elections have consequences. And Chicago and Illinois is a poster child for what's wrong with the current trajectory of this country under Biden-Harris leadership.
You're right. You're 100% right. And, you know, I, too, have been Illinois my whole life, generationally so. Family from a generational farm meant a man who I married who his family has a generational farm. And this soil is great. And this land is celebrated worldwide for what it has to offer. And it just seems like the Democrat policies that grab a hold of it, they so quickly chase people away. And it's in the numbers, it's in the statistics. You know, I'm wondering what your hope is for a state like Illinois to try to right the ship, and for a country, should they choose Kamala Harris in this next election? I mean, how far does it get before it's too far gone?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In your opening, you played that important clip from Scott Jennings on CNN. I mean, when you watch this Democrat convention in Chicago, you'd never think Kamala Harris had been the vice president for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You'd think she's a first-time candidate. I mean, that's what's crazy. She's been in office for almost 4 years now and has been complicit and the co-chair of the Biden disastrous policies that have been put in place. You know, when I listened to President Obama and Michelle Obama last night, they have very good oratory skills. They can give a good speech. But I never heard them talk once about the 9 million people that have been streaming across our border illegally. Heard nothing about how inflation has ravaged low-income and poor people in the middle class. You heard nothing about the murder rate in Chicago. Nothing about that. And so it's almost like the Twilight Zone that we're watching a convention and they're not taking ownership. They're coming up with solutions for problems they created.
Yes. Yes. And that's the cycle, because they sell you the solution every election cycle and people go, OK, well, they see me. They identify my problem. However, it doesn't really feel, at least in my experience of what I've been consuming through social media, which is always curated. So I understand that. It's all anecdotal. But people aren't really buying the Kamala Harris sell as much as I think that they need them to be buying that sell. Are people waking up to the reality that, you know, the Harris ticket is like the Biden, it's the same thing as the Biden administration, maybe a little bit more progressively worse, and that you can't talk me out of understanding what my checking account says or what my bills say or the gas pump or the grocery bill? I mean, do people understand their own reality more than they're being persuaded by the Democrats to believe an alternate reality?
Well, like I said before, people have to understand that elections have consequences, and you just have to look at the bad policies over the last 4 years and what they've done to people's pocketbooks. But make no mistake about it, elections are about the future. And we have an obligation and responsibility as conservative Republicans to make sure that President Trump wins. Now, what does that mean? It means, you know, we have to be focused. We have to be disciplined. We have to stick to the issues. You know, I've recommended we stay away from the insults and racial politics and just focus on the issues, because I think we have plenty of ammunition there to take them on. And you're right, Annie, that people are not educated on Kamala Harris. It's amazing how many people didn't even know she was vice president. And so, you know, after Labor Day is going to be the important time where we really have to get people focused. And I think when you do the side by side and you talk about how people's lives are much different today and worse off than they were during the Trump administration, but that takes discipline. That takes being focused. It takes a commitment to do that. And I have all the confidence in the world that we can do that. But it's going to take some work to do that. And make no mistake about it, this is going to be a close election. This is not Joe Biden we're running against. And we have to focus on her and her terrible record.
I want to key in a little bit on J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Johnson and how they've got, you know, Democrat policies on top of Democrat policies, squarely focusing on Chicago there, where the Democrats said this is where we want to stake our claim. We want to put it in Chicago. Then they board everything up. They surround their convention with police officers they want to defend. They build walls to keep people out of a place that they want to protect. All things they won't do for the American people, but they will, through the donations from elitist groups, they'll give themselves those protections. You know, I'm just wondering why Brandon Johnson is okay with all of these walls and all of this investment in law enforcement in his city when he won't invest in that for his own people who pay those taxes.
Well, I mean, that's spot on. And there's many contrasts and contradictory policies being put in place by Mayor Johnson. I mean, he has decimated the police. If you talk to any police officer in Chicago, no one wants to work there anymore because of what they've done to the city and really dehumanizing our police force there. But here's what Illinois is known for now. We're known because of the policies of J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson. And we're known for cannabis. That's what we thrive in, is cannabis and abortion on demand. In the meantime, all the other states around us are thriving and prospering because, again, of good public policy in place on low taxes, taking care of the pension system, creating a good business climate. And Illinois is now a sanctuary state. They love bragging about being a sanctuary state. This year, J.B. Pritzker will spend $800 million of state taxpayer money to fund illegal migrants for housing, for education, for food. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. I think people are waking up, but this is going to be important that we remind people of it.
We're speaking with Congressman Darren LaHood. He is Illinois' 16th District Representative from the Peoria area. He's also a member of the Ways and Means Committee and the House Intel Committee and the Select Committee on the CCP. Congressman, I hear, you know, you've chosen to run and represent people in Illinois. I live in Illinois, of course. I work in St. Louis, Missouri. I get asked all the time, like, Annie, why are you still there? And I always say it's my home and it's worth fighting for. And I have every intention of continuing to do that. Is Illinois, like, in your mind, is it worth fighting for? Or are we just trying to hold on to what we got until it's completely gone?
No, absolutely. It's worth fighting for. I mean, I have I have confidence in the people that I represent. You know, people are going to wake up to the change that we need in the state. There's still a lot of good people that care deeply about the state that are in Illinois. And you mentioned at the beginning, we have some of the most fertile farmland in the entire world. We got a great transportation system. We have wonderful educational system throughout the state of Illinois. We have good, hardworking people. We've had terrible governance. And when you couple that with J.B. Pritzker, who spent $160 million his first race, $140 million his second race, he basically bought the governorship in Illinois. I think that's going to change in 2026. We're going to have an opportunity to put up a good candidate for governor, good candidate for U.S. Senate in 26. And I think we can overcome these things. And, you know, in the area that I represent, we are the same as Indiana or Iowa or Missouri, where they've elected good Republicans in those states. So I remain hopeful that we can turn it around in Illinois.
What does it look like for you? Like, what needs to be offered to the voters as an alternative to the J.B. Pritzker Democrat way for Illinoisans to consider collectively an alternative? Because I think that right now that's the same position that a lot of voters across the country are in, whether they're going to, you know, pull the lever for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. It's like, what do we have to offer in our state that will get enough people to say, we're not doing this anymore, we're willing to try something else?
Well, I think it's education first and foremost. You know, it's hard to articulate what we believe in as Republicans. It's opportunity, it's freedom, it's the ability to prosper and do well. And Democrats offer free things, right? I just mentioned $800 million to illegal immigrants. Free things are easier to justify when you're a Democrat. And we have to do a better job in articulating and educating members and advocating what freedom, what opportunity means, how you can prosper and do well under Republican principles. I think we have some really good young rising stars in our Republican Party, whether that's Elise Stefanik, my colleague, whether it's Byron Donald, young people in our party that stand for our principles. I think we have to get out and educate people more and explain to people more what we believe in as Republicans. I think and we got a good deep bench in Illinois of rising young conservatives that I think will be very impactful in our next election. But it takes hard work, and you got to overcome the billionaire dollars that J.B. Pritzker has put in. But I have all the confidence that we can do that in this next election cycle.
I appreciate you, Congressman, for being with us and for shining a light on it. And I always think it's important to remember the positivity, the asset that Chicago is to the state of Illinois and how much destruction has been put upon it by the Democrat policies. The city is great and it needs to be made to be great again. And you are absolutely right. I'm going to share the article that you wrote, the op-ed that you wrote on this for the Washington Reporter, because you squarely focus how we can make things better again, but alert people to the problems that are right in front of us right now that we can handle. We appreciate you being on with us today.
Yep. Amen. Thanks, Annie.
Look forward to coming back on too.
Yes,
please do. We would love to have you. Congressman Darren LaHood, representing Illinois' 16th district, up in Peoria, central Illinois, some might say northern Illinois, depends on where you draw the line. Everybody draws it differently, and you can tell where they're from in Illinois by how they identify the different locations in Illinois. Northern Illinois, southern Illinois, central Illinois, Chicago. Great to have him on the show to speak with us today. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to speak next with Sue Liebel. She's the Midwest Regional Director at Susan B. Anthony, sbaprolife.org. And we're going to talk about Missouri. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about the politics surrounding it and hear what Sue has to say about it when we come back. Don't go away.
And now he intends to pass a nationwide abortion ban to ban access to fundamental health care in every state.
That's what Kamala Harris has said about Donald Trump. And that's actually not at all what Donald Trump has said that he is going to do. That is a wholehearted lie. But right now, Missouri is acting in trying to expand access to abortion. And you might have heard about this amendment. Missouri's all trimester abortion amendment makes the ballot. That's what the Susan B. Anthony pro-life organization says. And we wanted to talk to him about it and find out what they think about this amendment where Missouri will have the opportunity to weigh in. We're speaking now with Sue Liebel. She's the Midwest Regional Director with Susan B. Anthony. And she's on with us today. Sue, thank you for being with us today. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell Missourians what kind of choice that they are being given on this ballot coming up in as plain speak as you can muster.
Well, the choice that couldn't be more clear, the distinction between what Missouri law is currently, what Missourians have voted on their elected officials and supported pro-life laws versus this amendment. This amendment would go the entire opposite direction. And I mean extremely. And it may be what I'm about to say, people don't even really believe I'm telling the truth, but it would end thousands of lives, babies, unborn children who have heartbeats, feel pain even at the later stages, would all lose their lives. This is, it goes far beyond even Roe versus Wade. Remember those days? It would establish unlimited abortion, even in the second and third trimester, when, by the way, babies can feel that happening to themselves. It would eliminate parental rights. Now, I can back all these things up. We can talk about these things, unpack them if you want. And it would also remove currently the health and safety requirements for women, that they get informed consent, that a doctor would do an abortion. That would be removed. So any healthcare professional could do it. She wouldn't get any materials. It's just shocking how far this amendment would go. It also includes boys getting transgender medicine or procedures or things like that, again, with no parental consent.
What is the question? So this is going to be on the ballot. When I understand that this, you're saying that should it pass, that these are the things that will be entered into the reality for Missourians. What is the question on the ballot asking? Like, in the what? How are they wording it for voters to consume?
Well, it's a little long, but I'd be happy to read it to you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to hear
actually, it. All right. It actually shows, and this is actually, if you go to Mo Stands With Women, M-O, Missouri, mostandswithwomen.org, they have done a mock-up of this question and what it, like it really means. But let me read it to you. It goes into the constitution of your state, not just the law, but the actual constitution, Section A, Article 1, which is the Bill of Rights. This section is known as the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative. Section 2, the government shall not deny or infringe upon a person's fundamental right to reproductive freedom, which is the right to make and carry out decisions about all matters relating to reproductive health care, including but not limited to prenatal, childbirth, postpartum care, birth control, abortion care, et cetera. That not limited to is the key there.
Yeah.
You know, it's always in the words, right?
Sure.
Careful what you're reading. So it's not going to infringe upon a person's fundamental right. So a child is a person. A boy is a person. It's not just about women and abortion. And then it's not limited to. So that could include gender procedures and things like that. Also, it does not allow the government or any denial, interference, delay, or restriction of the right to reproductive freedom. So what that really means, a governmental interest is compelling only if it's for the purpose, has a limited effect of improving or maintaining the person's health. All that really means is that existing pro-life laws would be invalidated. So all the laws that, you know, Missouri is, in fact, quite a pro-life state, has been a leader in protecting lives. And by the way, sometimes protecting lives also means protecting women and their health and their safety too. And helping women find better choices and a better path forward than abortion. It's not always, it's not healthcare, and it's not always the best way to go.
Sue Liebel speaking with us right now. She's the Midwest Regional Director at Susan B. Anthony. I was going to ask you, do you know the organizations who have most wholly funded this movement, this amendment? Like, do you know where the money is coming from to make this a success?
Well, I'm not sure I know exactly where the money comes from in Missouri, but we've seen this, of course, in other states across the country, Ohio, Michigan, Kansas. There have been very similarly worded amendments in other states. And we know that they have been funded by George Soros and other, liberal billionaires. Planned Parenthood and the ACLU is behind this. In fact, in Missouri, they didn't even support Jamie Corley's original questions because they didn't go far enough.
Are these Missouri groups? Are these Missouri centered groups that want to see this, or is this outside money?
Well, both. Missouri has a Planned Parenthood, has an ACLU, but this is a national plan. This is a national strategy, and they're going after the red states. So they're going after states that are pretty pro-life, that have limited abortion in some way, or had health and safety restrictions for women's safety in some way in their states. And so this is the plan, is to go and invalidate all of those state laws, because they put a right to abortion into the Constitution. It's hard for lots of us to remember our high school government class or whatever, the branches of government and, what is a constitution versus a law. Most of us don't remember that sort of thing. But the Constitution is the most fundamental and strongest document you have. And to go straight for the Constitution and bypass all of the laws that your state has done, and those laws were put into place by people that you elected. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to bypass all of that, especially in pro-life or more conservative states.
They've been successful too, which is the scary thing for me, is they have found ways with these amendments, a lot in the marketing of the amendment leading up to the election and the way the wording is put on the ballot. In red states and conservative places, these amendments have gone the way of aggressively pro-abortion hopefuls. I'm wondering how you feel about Missouri's chances of defending life this November with ultimately the results of this amendment.
Well, that is a great question, and I'm so glad you asked it, because I came today to bring a cautionary tale to your listeners. We've seen this in other states. First of all, a lot of people don't really realize what abortion is and how far it's gone in America. So in a lot of those states that you were talking about, they were go up on television. Pretty soon you're going to see those television ads.
Yep.
Brace yourself. Here you go. And they're going to say that women won't get the care they need, or that women won't get, their health will be in jeopardy, or whatnot. And it's just not true. It's actually a lie. Under current Missouri law, all of the health care for women who have troubled pregnancies or have issues, the irony is that is, in fact, health care. Abortion is a procedure that terminates the life of the child, period.
Yeah.
And so they conflate the two in order to confuse. Also, we've seen across the country that voters don't really believe that if this passes, come on, third trimester abortions, really, when my daughter's, 30 weeks pregnant, I'm yes, in fact, that is a yes. The amendment mentions the word viability, but viability is when a baby can live outside of the womb, maybe in the NICU, but is able to survive. But the other wording in the question takes that all out and would allow the doctor, who in this case is going to make money on that abortion, to make the decision to do an abortion on an older baby. So we know from these other states that a lot of people didn't believe that actually happens, and it does, or that parents would lose their right to, help their child make these important life-changing decisions, and they will. In fact, we know in Michigan and Ohio, since those have passed, like in Michigan, for example, the legislature then, subsequent to that, went ahead and deleted their ban on partial birth abortion. Governor Whitmer, who is a very far left she's not quite as extreme as Kamala Harris, but but pretty much she signed a bill to remove partial birth abortion ban. So you also safety requirements for women, regulating clinics, inspecting clinics for the health for health purposes and, you know, cleanliness and things like that. The legislature also tried to undo the 24-hour waiting period and taxpayer funding, but it didn't. It got fumbled. They fumbled the ball. They'll be back. And so the idea here is that they want it in the Constitution. It is a right. With that right, then you can't get close to it. You couldn't put health and safety requirements on it, or you don't want to get too close to it. And then they would make it so that your taxpayer dollars would pay for it. And that is their ultimate goal, is the money.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a deep and full of despair reality that Missouri could be heading in. And I live in the state of Illinois, and it's like the destination. J.B. Pritzker's, the only reason people come to Illinois is to get abortions and to get weed, and they leave because they have common sense. In Missouri, they're trying to do the same thing to this red state. So just to be clear on this amendment, is there an amendment number? Is there a way to identify what amendment this will be on the ballot? And to
number
be clear,
three.
Amendment 3 is a vote no. Is that the way I understand it correctly? So it could be very clear.
That's right. This Amendment 3 is a very damaging and a very extreme abortion and transgender type of a question. It is very extreme for Missouri.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you shining the light on this and coming onto our show to discuss it more. And it's going to be a hot topic for the next 77 days as voting starts to open. And I hope that you'll come back and discuss the progress on this with us here on our station. We would love to have you back.
Oh, I'd really like to come back. I know this is going to morph and change. Once they get up on TV, we'll be talking about how their ads are deceitful, or any postcards you might get, you know, just like a campaign, right?
Yeah.
We're getting closer to November. And my advice is don't fall for it. It's a crass way to get more business for the abortion industry. That's what it is.
Well, we appreciate you. And
Thank you.
Vote no on Amendment 3 for Missouri. Absolutely. We appreciate the conversation today. Thank you. And we look forward to having you back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. The Midwest Regional Director is Susan B. Anthony, SBAProLife.org. Sue Liebel. Great to have her on the show to talk about this. Oh, man, sometimes these issues, they make me so angry to talk about because of the willfulness of the pro-abort lobby and how evil it is in my mind. I mean, like, there's no other way to explain it. It's just evil. Missouri, please, please, please be active on this issue and get the word out. How absolutely aggressive this amendment will make abortion access available in the state of Missouri should it pass. I'm going to take a quick break. Let's talk a little bit about the poll. When we return, how would an RFK Jr. partnership with Trump impact the election? Is it going to help Trump, help Harris, or no impact? There's breaking news on this with RFK Jr., and I will give you that headline and that story with Ryan Wiggins and Brad when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back. We got a Fox News alert here. According to Fox News, independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to address the nation about his path forward in the presidential race this Friday. That is what our YouTube poll is about.
Uh-huh.
Speculation was swirling around the issue. Now we have a little bit more concrete info. Kennedy's press secretary, Stephanie Spear, posted the announcement about, quote, the present historic moment and his path forward on social media on Wednesday afternoon. The announcement comes after Kennedy's running mate, Nicole Shanahan. Remember her?
No. I do.
No.
Well, only because of news this week.
What color hair does she have?
Dark.
I think she does.
It's like dark brown.
Good for you, boys.
Thank you.
What's her middle name?
Brendan.
The announcement comes after Kennedy's running mate, Nicole Shanahan, blasted Democrats on Tuesday, saying she, quote, fully supports a role for Kennedy in a future Trump administration. Shanahan also hinted that they could end their campaign and back former President Trump and future President Trump.
And future President Trump.
Future President Trump. Shortly before the announcement, Amaryllis Kennedy Kennedy's daughter-in-law and campaign manager emailed campaign staff, quote, for the last 19 months, 22 months for the original core, this team, this family has worked 7 days a week, 10 plus hours a day in blizzards and blazing heat, sacrificing family time, personal commitments, and any hope of sleep. In service to our shared vision for this country, never in all these months has Robert F. Kennedy Jr. sidestepped his movement to communicate his heart through back channel leaks. Nor would he ever, especially in this most consequential moment for us all. So please, hold tight until you hear directly from him. End quote.
Okay, we will.
Friday. We will hear it Friday.
Now.
Please, noon to three.
Yeah.
Just do it during my show.
You know what'd be great? Right at about, like, get done with the 1 o'clock guest.
I think Mark Reardon has made a deal with people.
No.
Yes. All this stuff happens right when it's either going to be that or it's going to be during Kilmeade. I'm starting to take this personally.
As long as they don't do it at 12:45.
Because that's Wiggins America.
That's Wiggins America.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Kennedy's America. Actually, I think it'll be more Kennedy's America after Friday than it ever was going to be.
I do too. So the Twitter chatter is that he is headed to Arizona and that Trump is doing a rally in Arizona on Friday. So I'm just not there.
The YouTube poll for today, I would love to hear from people in the comments who are RFK Jr. voters.
Absolutely.
I want to know from you what this means to you, because you might go, there is no way in heck that I'm supporting Donald Trump. And you might say, and there is no way in heck that I'm voting for this corrupt Democrat party. I don't know what you do then, but I would love to know what your thoughts are on the issue and if what RFK Jr. says he's going to do influences what you might do. In fact, is Abby out there right now?
Yes.
314-241-9797. I only want to talk to people who are RFK Jr. voters. So this is not like an open call. And I don't know how many of y'all listen out there are RFK Jr. voters. That might be part of the problem.
Yeah, maybe.
But if you are an RFK Jr. voter, 314-241-9797, call us. I got like 5 minutes. So this is very short, sweet, and may not even come to fruition. What do you think about him dropping out, partnering up with Trump? 314-241-9797. RFK Jr. voters only, please, Abby.
Now, you probably already know this. I was not an RFK Jr. voter, but I am an undecided voter.
I am undecided.
And I was. And the problem is I'm politically homeless because I was
Because everybody keeps
vote.
Kicking you out.
Well, they took my candidate off. Mm-hmm. I was going to vote for Joe Biden. And then I was been riding with Biden for years. And then they took him off the ballot. And I don't like Kamala Harris. She's too far left. So I'm kind of in neutral right now. I don't know what to do. And I'm leaning Trump just because Kamala is just so far left.
How are you going to go on with this?
Until somebody calls.
I don't know. Just because people call doesn't mean we're taking their calls. They'd have to be RFK Jr. So you don't need to ramble until we get the right call.
Okay, I'm done then.
Do you think, what's your answer to this poll? How would an RFK Jr. partnership with Trump impact the election?
It's a huge help for Trump. I'm a hard help Trump on this poll.
Brad, do you agree?
No, I don't agree 100%. I think that it helps Trump.
97%?
But I don't think it's a huge hunt help. I think maybe a percent or two.
The reason I think that this helps Trump so much is that there are a lot of people who probably feel like, you know what, I don't want to vote Democrat in this election. All the stuff about Biden Harris, but I also don't Trump. I don't want to be associated with Trump. This gives you cover if you're in that category to say I wasn't going to vote for Trump. I was RFK, but then he went into Trump's camp, so I ended up there. I think that is there's a good contingency of people that will apply to.
Well, I think there's a contingency of people out there that like what RFK has to say, and they're going to look at this and go, based on what. Like sort of a position he would get in a Trump administration. Like, seriously, don't we want to see a Kennedy in charge of the CIA or the FBI or something?
I don't know
like that
I necessarily. I is that fun in our like talk show world? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But is RFK Jr. the best man for the job to run the CIA of all of the people who Donald Trump could put there? I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
You think he is?
No, I have no idea, but you're right. It would be fun.
Is he qualified?
I don't know. I like some of the things that he's said about the administrative state mm-hmm. and how these organizations are run and how they should be run, but I don't know that means that he's
so
the guy.
Do you give him the CIA?
I don't know. I trust that if he were in the running for that position, that if he were chosen, it wouldn't be a political decision. That if he actually got chosen for that position, it would be by a bunch of people who said, yeah, actually, he is the best guy for this.
Well, what do we want from the CIA? And can an RFK deliver that in an administrative way? I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to be a person that is like a super spy or have that background or even a law enforcement background to know how an organization should run and what they should be focusing on and what they shouldn't be focusing on. And I think that if you look at RFK, I think that he could do that. He could point to this and be like, why are we surveilling these people? These are just American citizens. Why are we looking at Catholic churches?
Can you cue this up maybe just like 2 minutes before, or not even 2 minutes, 60 seconds before? Donald Trump is speaking in Asheboro, North Carolina right now. And 314-241-9797. Abby's combing through these callers to make sure we get a good one. Donald Trump, he's surrounded by bulletproof glass now. New addition to the outdoor stage. His yeah. first outdoor rally since he got shot in the head. They put him behind. He looks like he's in a cage of bulletproof glass. And he's on the stage. Let's just cue it up. Are you good? He's mm-hmm. on the stage and I'm watching kind of him speak. And, you know, we can take these Trump speeches, but there are going to be a lot of Trump speeches and they're going to sound very similar. He's looking over his left shoulder into the crowd behind this bulletproof glass, and then he just walks off the stage.
To get here, so I understand it. Take your time, doctor. Take your time. Thank you.
So, Brad, tell us what you're
so
seeing.
So, right now, he's looking over his shoulder behind him, and now he's, you know, they're clapping. I'm not sure what's going on in the crowd because you can't really see it. You can see an airplane in the background. But he's staring intently over his left shoulder at somebody in the crowd. And
so he's done yeah. this before.
Take your time, please.
When it gets hot outside, maybe somebody passes out. I've been at these rallies. The one
he's walking off now.
So he's walking off the stage, away from his bulletproof glass right now, down the steps. And then he walks up to check on the person who passed out from behind the bulletproof glass.
I didn't even know about the pass. I thought this is just a baller move. He's surrounded by glass for the first time ever, and he's like, yeah, here we go. Just walking out of it.
Yes, and the Secret Service is probably
they're like, oh,
yeah, like on the screen, you can see that they're like shoulder to shoulder behind him, but he's definitely leaning over into the crowd over one of those railings mm-hmm. that they have set up. When you go to a Trump event, there's a large... Two large seating arrangements to the left and to the right over his shoulder.
We've sat in them.
Yes. And sometimes there's one in the back. There's not at this one. There's a view of an airport.
All right. Well, we heard him ask.
Let's listen to the report.
Trying to clarify what the crowd was asking for, and it appears that call was answered, and the former president has wandered over there with Secret Service in tow, John. Check out what's going on.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times in these outdoor events, because people have been standing around for a long time, 75 degrees right now in Asheboro, but it's a sunny day. The president just wanted to check to make sure that person's okay.
All right, looks like he'll continue now.
So then Donald Trump ends up walking back to the podium and
2 days, 3 days early, and it's a lot of stress. We lose them. The only ones we don't lose are front row Joes. I don't know what they have going. They have something going here, Governor.
He's always talking about these people who are in the front row. We can take it down now. So they're attending to this person. We've sat there in those. And when we went, Brad, to the one in Mendon, Illinois, mm-hmm. it was 100 degrees outside.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so hot. We were, like, taking water bottles. I mean, it was oppressive. And the place was packed. Tens of thousands of people there to see him. And it becomes oppressive. You said 75 degrees. You're in the sun. You're standing. You lock your legs. Hopefully it's mm-hmm. someone who just passed out from something like that and not something more. But it just caught my eye. You know, I'm just watching him, keeping my eye on the idea that he's talking. He's giving his speech. I kind of read the headlines that come across the bottom. Maybe he talked about RFK Jr. or whatever, so we can go to that news if that were to happen to break, because RFK is going to be speaking on the state of his campaign on Friday. We have just broken that news. And I'm watching it, and all of a sudden he's looking over his shoulder, and then he just wanders off the stage. I'm like, get behind the glass! Get back behind the glass! And then he just walks up to somebody in the crowd. So this is not superhuman, but it is human. And that's what they have taken from him, is his humanity. When we come back, we're deep diving Theo Von, Donald Trump conversation.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I am.
Theo Von is one of my favorites, bucket list guest for this show, if we could ever get him on. He interviewed Donald Trump, and if you know who Theo Von was, he was 100% true to Theo Von the entire time he was sitting down with the man who he called Donald. We'll be right back. According to Fox News, independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to address the nation about his path forward in the presidential race this Friday. That is what our YouTube poll is about.
Uh-huh.
Speculation was swirling around the issue. Now we have a little bit more concrete info. Kennedy's press secretary, Stephanie Spear, posted the announcement about, quote, the present historic moment and his path forward on social media on Wednesday afternoon. The announcement comes after Kennedy's running mate, Nicole Shanahan. Remember her?
I do. Well, only because of news this
week. What color hair does she have?
Dark.
I think she does.
It's like dark brown.
Good for you, boys.
Thank you.
What's her middle name?
Brendan.
The announcement comes after Kennedy's running mate, Nicole Shanahan, blasted Democrats on Tuesday, saying she, quote, fully supports a role for Kennedy in a future Trump administration. Shanahan also hinted that they could end their campaign and back former President Trump and future President Trump.
And future President Trump.
Future President Trump. Shortly before the announcement, Amaryllis Kennedy, Kennedy's daughter-in-law and campaign manager, emailed campaign staff, quote, for the last 19 months, 22 months for the original core, this team, this family has worked 7 days a week, 10 plus hours a day in blizzards and blazing heat, sacrificing family time, personal commitments, and any hope of sleep in service to our shared vision for this country. Never in all these months has Robert F. Kennedy Jr. sidestepped his movement to communicate his heart through back channel leaks. Nor would he ever, especially in this most consequential moment for us all. So please hold tight until you hear directly from him. End quote.
Okay, we will.
Friday. We will hear it Friday.
Now,
please, noon to three.
yeah.
Just do it during my show.
You know, it'd be great. Right at about, like, get done with the 1 o'clock guest.
I think Mark Reed 1:48 has made a deal with people.
No.
Yes. All this stuff happens right when he... It's either going to be that or it's going to be during Kilmeade. I'm starting to take this personally.
As long as they don't do it at 12:45.
Because that's Wiggins America.
That's Wiggins America.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Kennedy's America. Actually, I think it'll be more Kennedy's America after Friday than it ever was going to be.
I do too. So the Twitter chatter is that he is headed to Arizona and that Trump is doing a... rally in Arizona on Friday. So I'm just going out there.
The YouTube poll for today, I would love to hear from people in the comments who are RFK Jr. voters.
Absolutely.
I want to know from you what this means to you, because you might go, there is no way in heck that I'm supporting Donald Trump. And you might say, and there is no way in heck that I'm voting for this corrupt Democrat party. I don't know what you do then, but I would love to know what your thoughts are on the issue, and if what RFK Jr. says he's going to do influences what you might do. In fact, is Abby out there right now?
Yes.
314-241-9797. I only want to talk to people who are RFK Jr. voters. So I don't, this is not like an open call, and I don't know how many of y'all listen out there are RFK Jr. voters. That might be part of the problem.
Yeah, maybe.
But if you are an RFK Jr. voter, 314-241-9797, call us. I've got like 5 minutes, so this is very short, sweet, and may not even come to fruition. What do you think about him dropping out, partnering up with Trump? 314-241-9797. RFK Jr. voters only, please, Abby.
Now, You probably already know this. I was not an RFK Jr. voter, but I am an undecided voter.
I am undecided.
And I was. And the problem is I'm politically homeless because I was
going to vote.
Because
everybody keeps kicking you out.
Well, they took my candidate off. Mm-hmm. I was going to vote for Joe Biden. And then I was riding with Biden for years. And then they took him off the ballot. And I don't like Kamala Harris. She's too far left. So I'm kind of in neutral right now. I don't know what to do. And I'm leaning Trump just because Kamala is just so far left.
How are you going to go on with this?
Until somebody calls.
I don't know. Just because people call doesn't mean we're taking their calls. They'd have to be RFK Jr. So you don't need to ramble until we get the right call.
Okay, I'm done then.
Do you think, what's your answer to this poll? How would an RFK Jr. partnership with Trump impact the election?
It's a huge help for Trump. I'm a hard help Trump on this poll.
Brad, do you agree?
No, I don't agree 100%. I think that it helps Trump.
97%?
But I don't think it's a huge help. I think maybe a percent or two.
The reason I think that this helps Trump so much is that there are a lot of people who probably feel like, you know what, I don't want to vote Democrat in this election. All the stuff about Biden and Harris. But I also don't, Trump, I don't want to be associated with Trump. This gives you cover, if you're in that category, to say, I wasn't going to vote for Trump. I was RFK. But then he went into Trump's camp, so I ended up there. I think that is, there's a good contingency of people that that will apply to.
Well, I think there's a contingency of people out there that like what RFK has to say, and they're going to look at this and go, based on what like sort of position he would get in a Trump administration, like seriously, don't we want to see a Kennedy in charge of the CIA or the FBI or something?
I don't know
like that.
That I necessarily. Is that fun in our like talk show world? Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, but is RFK Jr. the best man for the job to run the CIA of all of the people who Donald Trump could put there? I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
You think he is?
No, I have no idea, but would be fun.
Is he qualified?
I don't know. I like some of the things that he's said about the administrative state, mm-hmm. and how these organizations are run and how they should be run. But I don't know that means that he's the guy.
Do you give him the CIA?
I don't know. I trust that if he were in the running for that position, that if he were chosen, it wouldn't be a political decision. That if he actually got chosen for that position, it would be by a bunch of people who said, yeah, actually, he is the best guy for this.
Well, what do we want from the CIA? And can an RFK deliver that in an administrative way? I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to be a person that is like a super spy or have that background or even a law enforcement background to know how an organization should run and what they should be focusing on and what they shouldn't be focusing on. And I think that if you look at RFK, I think that he could do that. He could point to this and be like, why are we surveilling these people? These are just American citizens. Why are we looking at Catholic churches?
Can you cue this up maybe just like 2 minutes before, or not even 2 minutes, 60 seconds before? Donald Trump is speaking in Asheboro, North Carolina right now. And 314-241-9797. Abby's combing through these callers to make sure we get a good one. Donald Trump, he's surrounded by bulletproof glass now. New addition to the outdoor stage. His first outdoor rally since he got shot in the head. They put him behind. He looks like he's in a cage of bulletproof glass. And he's on the stage. Let's just cue it up. Are you good? He's on the stage and I'm watching kind of him speak. And, you know, we can take these Trump speeches, but there are going to be a lot of Trump speeches and they're going to sound very similar. He's looking over his left shoulder into the crowd behind this bulletproof glass, and then he just walks off the stage.
To get here, so I understand it. Take your time, doctor. Take your time. Thank you.
So, Brad, tell us what you're seeing.
So, right now, he's looking over his shoulder behind him, and now he's, you know, they're clapping. I'm not sure what's going on in the crowd because you can't really see it. You can see an airplane in the background. But he's staring intently over his left shoulder at somebody in the crowd. And
so he's done this before.
Take your time, please.
When it gets hot outside, maybe somebody passes out. I've been at these rallies. He's walking off now. So he's walking off the stage, away from his bulletproof glass right now, down the steps. And then he walks up to check on the person who passed out from behind the bulletproof glass.
I didn't even know about the pass. I thought this is just a baller move. He's surrounded by glass for the first time ever. And he's like, yeah, here we go. Just walking out of it.
Yes, and the Secret Service is probably
they're like, oh,
yeah, like on the screen, you can see that they are like shoulder to shoulder behind him. But he's definitely leaning over into the crowd over one of those railings that they have set up. When you go to a Trump event, there's a large... Two large seating arrangements to the left and to the right over his shoulder.
We've sat in them.
Yes. And sometimes there's one in the back. There's not at this one. There's a view of an airport.
All right. Well, we heard him ask.
Let's listen to the report.
Trying to clarify what the crowd was asking for. And it appears that call was answered. And the former president has wandered over there with Secret Service in tow, John, to check out what's going on.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times in these outdoor events, because people have been standing around for a long time, 75 degrees right now in Ashboro, but it's a sunny day. The president just wanted to check to make sure that person's okay.
All right, looks like he'll continue now.
So then Donald Trump ends up walking back to the podium and
2 days, 3 days early, and it's a lot of stress. We lose them. The only ones we don't lose are front row Joes. I don't know what they have going. They have something going here, Governor.
He's always talking about these people who are in the front row. We can take it down now. So they're attending to this person. We've sat there in those. And when we went, Brad, to the one in Mendon, Illinois, it was 100 degrees outside.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so hot. We were, like, taking water bottles. I mean, it was oppressive. And the place was packed. Tens of thousands of people there to see him. And it becomes oppressive. You said 75 degrees. You're in the sun. You're standing. You lock your legs. Hopefully it's someone who just passed out from something like that and not something more. But it just caught my eye. You know, I'm just watching him, keeping my eye on the idea that he's talking. He's giving his speech. I kind of read the headlines that come across the bottom. Maybe he talked about RFK Jr. or whatever, so we can go to that news if that were to happen to break, because RFK is going to be speaking on the state of his campaign on Friday. We have just broken that news. And I'm watching it, and all of a sudden he's looking over his shoulder, and then he just wanders off the stage. I'm like, get behind the glass, get back behind the glass. And then he just walks up to somebody in the crowd. So this is not superhuman, but it is human. And that's what they have taken from him, is his humanity. When we come back, we're deep diving Theo Von, Donald Trump conversation.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I am.
Theo Von is one of my favorites, bucket list guest. For this show, if we could ever get him on. He interviewed Donald Trump, and if you know who Theo Von was, he was 100% true to Theo Von the entire time he was sitting down with the man who he called Donald. We'll be right back.